comments, then we're going to take some testimonies, then we'll probably read some more verses. Well, Janet Lee's not going to be up here to give her testimony now. I've got one to give for, I had one written out and handed to me that I will give for somebody that's helping down in King's Kids. You know, the Word of God describes the last days in 2 Timothy chapter 3 as a time when the characteristics of those last days will be unthankfulness. Clearly, we are in those last days then because, as a whole, people seem to be very unthankful. In Romans chapter number 1 and verse number 21, we see there in that chapter, in that verse, that the people that God had turned over to a reprobate mind were people that were unthankful. Anytime we get to the place where we are unthankful people, we are also ungodly people. Now, you can take the word thanksgiving and thankfulness, and if you wanted to do a little word study on it in your Greek language, you'd find that it's really a two-part word. It's a compound word made up of a little compound at the first of it that means good. And the second part of it literally means grace, good grace. And anyway, the way it's put together, the literal meaning of it, that of course is translated in our Bible, thankful and thanksgiving. But the literal meaning is a response to good grace. I mean, the last part of the word literally is from the same root word as grace and goodness. But it's your response and my response to the grace or goodness of God. And we're in the return then to respond in a good way to that grace. And when we respond in a good way to the grace that God has given us, the natural result of that is us to bless God or to say good things about God. And, of course, then therefore, when it comes to the Word of God, and there's just hundreds of places that we can look at this word thanksgiving, it's your response and my response again to what God has done for us. So really, the thankfulness that we have is one of evaluation on our parts. In other words, slowing down long enough and evaluating all the things that God has done for us. And many times we don't do that. We'll bow our heads and we'll say thanks for meal. We usually do that pretty quickly because our flesh is in a hurry. Right? Have you ever bowed your head, gave thanks for your meal, started eating, and then a few seconds in, think, did I pray yet? Have you? Oh, yeah. I got a response that you know what I'm talking about. Been there, done that myself. But why do we do that? We do that because our stomach is so hungry in such a big hurry that we pray quickly so we can get to the meal, and then we sort of our conscience or say, we didn't say thanks good enough. And we sort of want to, and sometimes I have stopped and said it better the second time. Right? Why? Because, again, we evaluated a little more. And every year, when we stop and evaluate what we have been given, all kind of physical blessings, we should thank God. But when we slow down each year and see all the spiritual blessings that God has given us, we should give Him thanks more, shouldn't we? Psalms 103 has always been one of my favorite chapters. And you do not find in this chapter, really, thanksgiving as a word. But you can't read this chapter without having thanksgiving as a thought. Notice, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name. Now that's an attitude of thanksgiving. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits. That's an attitude of thanksgiving. Who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thine diseases. That's an attitude of thanksgiving. Who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies. Again, the attitude of thanksgiving. Who satisfieth thy mouth with good things. That's definitely a characteristic of Thanksgiving Day, isn't it? so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord executeth righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed. He made known his ways unto Moses, his acts unto the children of Israel. You know, I could stop right there in verse number 7 and make it more personal. He hath made his ways known unto Frank Kemp. And you could put yourself there in that aspect because he's let you know his will. Aren't you glad that you don't serve a God that will not tell you what his will is? I mean, he doesn't keep it secret and make us begging to let him know. You know, let us know. No, he tells us. Verse number 8, the Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and plenteous in mercy. Again, that verse is the very foundation for why we should have a thanksgiving heart, when you think about that. He will not always chide, neither will he keep his anger forever. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. And all of us at the end of that one should say, praise God, thanksgiving, right? Verse number 11, for as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. I remember the first time I read that verse after I got saved. And I just thought that it's almost, wow. I remember thinking, I don't have to worry about them anymore. And I've had now 38 years of a peaceful heart because I know my sins, I don't have to worry about them anymore. Now that brings a heart of thanksgiving. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. Now two times here in just a few verses, it's talked about fearing God. If we have the right heart fear of God, we will have a right heart of thanksgiving. But if we don't have the right fear of God, we will not be thankful. Why? Because without the proper fear, all the flesh does is have pride. And pride is never thankful. Pride always wants more or resents the fact that it doesn't have more. Verse number 14. For he knoweth our frame. He remembereth that we are dust. Now, what does that tell me? That tells me the Lord doesn't expect more of us than he knows we're able to give. He knows we're dust. Dust doesn't have much substance to it, does it? Dust doesn't grow things very well. Dust is a nuisance that most people want to take a duster and get out of their way. No, but he remembers that we're but dust. In other words, he again knows our weakness. And because of that, what does he do? He helps us. He strengthens us. He gives us all the things that this verse has already stated that should cause us to have a heart of thanksgiving. As for man, his days are as grass, as a flower of the field, so he flourishes. For the wind passes over it, and it is gone, and the place thereof shall know it no more. But the mercy of the Lord is for everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear him. There's that thought again. Now notice, he compared temporary things, and then he turned right around and shows us that God's mercy is not temporary. It's continuous. It's ongoing. And his righteousness unto the children's children, to such as keep his covenant, and to those that remember his commandments to do them. The Lord hath prepared his throne in the heavens, and his kingdom ruleth over all. Bless the Lord, ye his angels that excel in strength, that do his commandments, hearkening unto the voice of his word. Bless ye the Lord, all ye his host, ye ministers of his, that do his pleasure. Bless the Lord, all his works in all places of his dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul. This is a tremendous, tremendous psalm. Now, some of you have signed up for some testimonies. If you would like to give one of you that signed up, let me see, Sarah Hankey. Sarah, would you go ahead and start? Go ahead, right there, fine.